This morning we continue our journey as we look at the different I am statements of Jesus. We've come quite a long way and we've covered quite a lot of ground. And this morning we're going to look at the I am statement of Jesus that Tristan read about. I am the true vine. And as we come to the scripture, it's important that we remember the people who were listening to the scripture would be very familiar with what Jesus is sharing. Now, the picture that he's giving would be something that they could relate to. They'd all seen vineyards, they'd tasted wine, they'd seen wine being made. Some of them might have worked on vineyards, some might have been people who had done pruning. And so the people hear the story and they relate to it immediately. And as we look at the scripture this morning, we must remember who the characters are that we find in the scripture. Jesus is the true vine in the picture. God is the gardener, and we are the branches. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the word that appears the most in this section of scripture. The word is remain. And Jesus says, remain in me. You know that in this piece of scripture, Jesus says, remain in me 11 times. He repeats it over and over again, remain, remain, remain. And we have to say there's a reason that he did that. He emphasized this point because it was important. Teachers use repetition to help us to get something. And Jesus uses repetition here so that we can get what he's trying to tell us. Remain, remain, remain. We must remain in him, and he will remain in us. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now remain in my love. The scripture also tells us what will happen if we do not remain, if we step outside. If we do that, branches that bear no fruit will be cut off. Not remaining will produce a fruitlessness. The branches that are cut off will be thrown away and they will wither. In actual fact, some of them will even be thrown into the fire where they will burn. So it's very important that we remain in Christ. And the question we need to ask this morning is, how do we remain in Christ? If Jesus put so much emphasis on it, how do we do it? How do we actually do it? Well, John 15 verse 10 says this, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. In John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. In John 14, 21 and 23, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So it's not by works that we are saved. We are saved by grace. But once we are saved, a new process starts, a process called sanctification. Sanctification is a process whereby we grow closer to Jesus Christ. We grow in him. We are like the branches connected to the vine that produces good fruit. And if we do not remain, then the fruit doesn't happen. And that's the process of sanctification. And we're called to keep his commands. We remain in Jesus Christ by keeping his commands. Remember he said, keep his commands, keep my commands. Keep his commands, obey his teaching. Most of what Jesus taught were actually commands. How many commands are there of Jesus? Well, some people would say we just have to read the Bible, go to church, be a good person, and then we're sorted. But this scripture is telling us that we remain in him by keeping his commands. In 1925, J.S. McConnell, an evangelist, he studied the Bible and developed a framework around the commands of Jesus. He said there were 21 categories with 7 commands in each category, with a total of 147 commands of Christ. Later on, Peter Woodstock, also interested in the commands of Jesus, and after he'd studied the Bible, he wrote a book called Hear Him, the 125 Commands of Jesus. More recently, you can find lists of the commands of Jesus. Many people plug it at about 50 commands. So we've got 147, we've got 125, and we've got 50, and those 50 aren't even consistent. But what we can conclude when Jesus said, obey my commands, we can conclude that there are many things that we need to obey. Some of the things we need to obey are quite easy. We're told to rejoice. We're told to keep your word. We're told to pray in faith. Those are quite easy things to do. Some are not so easy. We are told to repent. We are told to choose the narrow way. We're told to be born again. Not that easy. And then there are things that seem downright impossible. Jesus said we need to love our enemies. How difficult is that? Pray for those who persecute you. Not easy. And finally, do not judge. So we've got these 50 or 120, whatever, or 147 commands. Some easy, some difficult, but we're called to obey them. And if we obey them, then we are remaining in Him. So as we obey His commands, as we remain in Him, what happens? John 15 verse 2 says this, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So the second thing then is, as we remain in Him, the second thing is we bear much fruit. What a bonus. It's not like we get to be less fruitful. Remaining in Him causes us to be more fruitful. Pruning is actually an art form. It's not something that you can just hand a set of secateurs to somebody and say, go and prune and expect the best. Pruning is an art form, and pruning correctly produces a good crop. Jesus is speaking about vineyards and wine and grapes, and really this is a very important art form when you go and prune grapevines. I don't know if you've ever thought about how good fruit can be, but there's a certain fruit that is incredibly valuable. Do you know what the most expensive fruit in the world is? Well, there's a certain grape. It's called the Ruby Roman grape. It's grown in Japan, just one region, and it is the most expensive grape in the world. The individual grapes grow to about the size of a ping pong ball, and they sell for a whole lot of money. In August 2008, a bunch of grapes, 700 grams, sold for 100,000 Japanese yen. Do you know what that relates to in rands? 17,000 rand, 700 gram bunch of grapes. Each grape is worth about 500 rand. A ping pong ball size grape, 500 rand. They are the most expensive grapes in the world. In 2016, it was the first time these grapes went on auction. A bunch of Ruby Roman grapes, about 700 grams, sold for about 180,000 rand, one bunch of grapes. Clever farming and good pruning created a crop of huge value. In our lives, the same thing is true. As we let Christ prune our lives, as we let Christ do what He wants to do, lead and guide us in the way that He wants us to go, obey His commands, we bear much fruit, and the fruit that we bear is really good fruit. We have two avocado pear trees in our yard that I'm thinking of right now. The one has got these beautiful avocado pears. They are large, they are delicious, they are beautiful. And we've got another tree right next to it, another avo tree. It's got small avos. And these avos actually have very little taste. They're very stringy. We long for the big avos. They are so nice. We don't know what to do with the little apples. They're so, so bad. Jesus spoke about trees and fruit. Paul spoke about fruit and trees. Paul spoke about fruit. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, he tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's speaking about the fruit that we can see and how the fruit shows that the Spirit is alive and active in our lives. The fruit here is not a physical fruit like the avocado pear that I was speaking about or that very expensive grape, but it's about these different character traits, these different ways that we approach people in life that are so important. And they are only developed as we spend time with Jesus Christ, as we remain in Him. We bear good fruit, fruit of real value, more valuable than the Ruby Roben grape, more tasty and more delicious than that Avo that I was telling you about in my garden. Jesus said this in Luke 6, 43 to 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from a thorn bush or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So our two Avo trees, the one is giving us good fruit. The one is giving us bad fruit. The one is a good tree. The one is a bad tree. The one we want to eat from, we want to be with. The other one, we don't know what to do with the fruit. And as we remain in Christ, the same is true of us. We will bear much fruit. We will bear fruit of love and of joy and of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, and of self-control. In actual fact, we will be known as good trees. And after all of this, after we've remained and we've been bearing good fruit, as we've remained in Christ and as we've been bearing good fruit is a plus. So as we've remained in Jesus Christ, and as we've remained in Christ, and as we have been bearing much fruit, there is another spin-off. Luke 11 says this: I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We remain in Him, we bear much fruit, and now the plus is that we will have complete joy. At this time in our world, in our lives, complete joy is something that we really need. To have even a little bit of joy for some people is a real plus. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to remain in Him. And as we do, we bear the fruit. And as we bear the fruit, we will have complete joy. Is that what you need today? Are you needing complete joy? Maybe you need to follow the recipe that I've been outlining. Hang around with Jesus. Be close to Him. I've been telling you a couple of things that I think are really important. Spend more time in His Word. Memorize some scripture. Stay close to Him. Pray. Talk to people about Jesus Christ. Be the salt and the light. And now, I really think it's important that we remain. That we remain, remain, remain. Maybe you look at some of those commands that Jesus has given. He'll give you the commands that are right for you right now. Go to Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to live more like a tree that is good. Help me to have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And help me to be the one that bears good fruit that others can see. So remain in Him. Bear much fruit. And have complete joy. God bless. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for the I Am statements that are so powerful, that show us a real clear picture of who You are and what You do. Thank You, Lord, that You are the true vine, not just any vine, but the true vine. And thank You, Lord, that we can remain in You. that we can be connected to the truth. So help us today, Lord. Help us as we wrestle with remaining in you, as we wrestle with commands that you've given. Help us, Lord, to be people that bear fruit, bear good fruit, bear much fruit. And Lord, help us with joy. Won't you make our joy complete? We long to be people of joy. Thank you, Lord. In your mighty name we pray.